This episode is brought to you by SendPro from Pitney Bowes. SendPro has three times the features of Stamps.com at one-third of the price. Visit pb.com/GFQ to learn more and try it for free for 90 days. After that, you'll get SendPro for only $5 per month. That's pb.com/GFQ. Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price. Because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Andrew and enter promo code Andrew at checkout. And by Harry's. Stop messing around and get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your free trial offer. $13 value for free, just covered a shipping by going to harrys.com/whatthetech.
What the tech?
Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin, and of course I'm joined by the one, the only, Mr. Paul Throydon. Beautiful, high definition.
Yeah, in this crappy room.
So what are you doing in that room? Is that temporarily like that until you get your stuff, or are you gonna broadcast from an insane asylum for the next forever?
Eventually it will be painted. The electricians are here. In fact, while we're doing the show, it's very possible he'll be behind me.
Okay.
Because today what they're doing is swapping out all the receptacles for new like white versions. And the one behind me, as you can see. These things here.
Is that what they're called?
I asked him that yesterday and he said yes.
Not an outlet?
You could probably use that term, but that's what the electrician calls them.
Interesting. I've never heard someone refer to that as a receptacle.
A receptacle.
Interesting.
So he's been rewiring everything, fixing the switches, because place is, a 1980s nightmare.
Well, my house is a 1901 nightmare. So I feel you. A couple years away from each other, but it's all right. I do have a lot to talk about this week, actually. By the way, look what I'm on today, Paul.
Very nice.
You could tell that I've been using it because of how filthy it is. I haven't used my Mac in about 5 days.
Well.
I think I'm over that hump, which I wanted to talk about this again, too, about how age plays a major role in not learning as quickly as possible.
All right.
Because, man, I thought this was going to be like switching from Chrome to Firefox, or Firefox to Chrome when I was much younger. Man, it's not as smooth sailing to switch over to another platform. So I'll talk about that and a whole lot more. But before we do, I want to take a moment and talk about our amazing sponsor, and that's Harry's. Get your free trial set, including your razor handle, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel by going to harrys.com/whatthetech. I actually pull it up here. I have my Harry's shaving set here. I have four of them, Paul. I'm a cheapskate now. This is all I give people because this is the best gift you could possibly give any guy in your life. It comes with a complete set. It looks beautiful. It looks expensive. And guess what? It is not that expensive, which is amazing. You get your free trial set, including the shaving handle, the 5-blade cartridge, and the shave gel. All you have to do is pay for the shipping. That's it. And you can get your free trial set by going to harrys.com/whatthetech. Paul, let's talk about the iPhone event next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big event because this is their first overhaul in quite a few years for this phone, right? 2.5 years?
iPhone 6 was
the last change.
So actually it's been longer than that when you think about it, because 6, 6S, and 7 were all the same design.
So 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... that's a long time, and really, if you really think about it, it's amazing that when you look at this phone and you look at like the Samsung Galaxy 8 or the Samsung Note 8, and you compare it, this phone is archaic.
Yes,
it's a very a lot of bezel, a lot of wasted space. The iPhone 7, I'm talking about, a lot of wasted space. It's way bigger than it should be, and. They kind of milked this for 3 years, and I'm actually surprised that they went 3 years with this design. It's Apple, so they can.
That's, Apple, you know, they tend to milk things. This is their modus operandi, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
So, new design. I'm sure everybody has seen it. You know, bezel-less, edge-to-edge glass. It's a beautiful design. There was an article I saw on The Verge, and it was comparing the iPhone 8 to every other iPhone that's been out. And one of the comparisons, it's an iPhone 8, a big, big version of the iPhone 8. I don't know. Are they going to call it a Plus? I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
The big version of the iPhone 8 and the current iPhone 7 Plus next to each other. Same size display, but man, the iPhone 7 is huge.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's all that wasted space. You know, and the other thing that's happened is with the Samsung devices, like the S8 and the Note 8, they've also gone to those new ultra tall aspect ratios, which I really, really like.
So you like that, right? I mean, that was a complaint that people had with the iPhone, that keeping an aspect ratio, it was taller than most.
Well, what this allows them to do is put basically a bigger screen in a device that is more usable with one hand, right? Which was the thing that Apple was on the forefront of when they did the 5. I want to say, I don't know if it was the 5 or the 5S, but the one where they made it taller but not, you know, wider. And you know, with the Plus phones that they're making now, they're taller and wider, right? So it's actually kind of impossible. And I've got huge hands, but I can't imagine almost anybody except maybe a basketball player or something.
It's like mitts.
Yeah. You have to use two hands. And, you know, they've built stuff in the software. You can kind of double tap the home button to bring down the screen, and it occupies only the lower half. And I think in iOS 11, they're adding a single-handed, you know, virtual keyboard mode. But it's just, I don't know, it's weird because Apple had a good argument, you know, for the time when everyone was moving to those Note-style large displays and phablets to say, hey, guys, hold on a second. You know, we're making a phone that you can use with one hand. And then they just kind of threw that out the window. So it's interesting to me that Samsung especially, but some other companies too, are starting to do those nice new, form factor is the wrong word, aspect ratios.
Yeah. It's not as noticeable on the S8 Plus, like the bigger S8, than it is on the regular size S8 because it's so narrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's smaller, so it looks way narrower.
I like it.
So I'm excited about this iPhone announcement, much like everybody else, because I'm curious to see what they're going to do, what changes they're adding. Everybody's talking about the display, but obviously there's going to be a lot more stuff in this device than we would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a tough spot. What's that?
They can't just upgrade the display. They're going to do other things as well, obviously.
Well, no, I think there's going to be a virtual home button for one thing. How they handle logging in is kind of a big deal. I don't think facial recognition is good enough on any phone, but, you know, whatever. That's one of the things Samsung screwed up on both the Note 8 and the S8. The placement of the fingerprint reader, huge mistake. And so we'll see. But, you know, for me, you know, personally, I've had such a bad experience with the 7 Plus. I'm a little...
In what way?
The camera's terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
You know,
and
I'm
said, by the way, I put that in context.
We said that last week, right?
Yeah.
And you know what I was told by everybody? Mm-hmm. Make sure the live shots are turned off.
I did.
Okay, so...
And the reason I did that, by the way, is because they're terrible.
Yeah,
like,
it's really
I can't
bad.
Stand, like, going to look at my pictures and having them all animated. Like, you know, like, I turned that off a long time ago.
I'm not that impressed with the camera. It is better than the S7.
Mm-hmm.
It's not better than the S8.
Yeah, actually, so, remember I mentioned that DxMark website?
Yeah.
If you look at their scores... The S7 and the S8 and S8 Plus are really close. They're really close. And I think for those particular phones, the S7 was already fantastic, right? So it's kind of tough because if you actually went along and had both of those like you did, you might not see that big of a change. But if you're using like an S5 or an S6 or whatever, it's a huge jump. And I guess they've done it again in the Note 8, right? Because it has a double camera system. So... It's kind of like they are kind of barreling forward with that stuff too.
So what do you think the other announcements are going to be? So there's a couple things here that we people have kind of forgotten. Do you remember at the last event they told us that there will be a new Mac Pro?
What? They told us there would
Say again? Okay, at the last event, I remember Tim Cook mentioning that the following event they will talk about the Mac Pro.
A new design Mac Pro. Are you sure?
That doesn't sound familiar. I'm going to tell you something. I've been sure up until today when I brought up the three people, and every one of them said, I don't remember that at all. Because he kind of apologized for the Mac Pro, right? Do you remember that part?
Not exactly. I mean, I remember they apologized. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. You said Mac Pro and I heard MacBook Pro. Yes, you're right. He did apologize for the Mac Pro. He did say they would have something else. I don't expect to see that at this event. I don't know that it was promised by any particular time, but they did apologize. You're right. And they came out and said, look, you know, we kind of designed ourselves into a corner with this one. We're going to, you know, do something new.
Yeah.
And I think that was what they left it at. So the thing that they will have by the end of this year is that iMac Pro.
Yeah, the iMac, but they already announced and showed that.
But it's not coming out till the end of the year. And so in some ways, like I could picture them saying, okay, here's an update on the availability of that device. And because I actually think that particular device will satisfy the needs of a lot of the people who would buy a Pro in the first place.
You know what's amazing? Upgradability, right? I know that the Pro is modular, right? The Mac Pro is all modular and you could connect 5,000 devices to this stupid thing. But you're absolutely right. Why would I buy the Mac Pro? For most people, obviously someone's going to say, well, this is why I would buy the Mac Pro, but why would you buy an appliance for that much money?
Sure.
You know, the all-in-one is, you know, the iMac Pro is an appliance as well because it's an all-in-one. You can't really do much on it other than
It's too bad in a way because that's maybe something they could have addressed on that device. I think having access to the obvious components, RAM, storage, but maybe even, graphics card, right, would be so nice for their customers. You know, like I would never buy such a device just because it's so expensive, but it would be really nice. That'd be right, the right thing to do, which maybe explains why they didn't do it. I don't know. I don't think the Mac Pro is expandable, easily expandable.
No, it's probably not.
I don't think so.
So I remember them saying we'll have more information at a later time, later in the year for the new Mac Pro.
I don't remember the schedule. I don't remember if there was a schedule.
I could have just been hallucinating that, but it would be a right time to announce it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they often do a couple of events in the fall. People are talking about them maybe introducing the new 4K version of the Apple TV at this event.
Very necessary.
Very necessary.
Right before Christmas. I mean, this is the time, right? They kind of dropped the ball last year, and it was acceptable. You kind of said...
I think it was 2 years ago,
Okay. Well, even better, right? It's even more acceptable. 2 years ago, they dropped the ball. They didn't announce it. You said, okay, well, it hasn't been standardized, and for how many 4Ks are on, you know, TVs are out there. And that typical Apple way, let's wait and release it so more people buy it. I have to tell you, that Apple TV is the worst. Terrible.
I'm mixed on this one because...
I loved it for so long, and then I realized
the remote is awful.
Oh,
and I'm worried that that's the one thing they're not going to fix. You know, that what they're going to do is basically just ship the same box, but with 4K componentry in it, and... honestly, I'll be happy to see it. But the other half of that mixed bag is that actually, even on a 4K display today, at least on my 4K display, the Apple TV has the best output. It looks beautiful. I happen to have a lot of content there. It has access to most of the services we want to access, including PlayStation View, which is something I'm testing out for.
By the way, Amazon is coming now.
Amazon's coming. You know, it's... The TV has these apps built into it, but those apps are usually kind of crappy, even though they do 4K in some cases and whatever. But they're, you know, the performance is terrible. It's not clear how you can kill them when they crash, and then, you know, how do you fix that? It's kind of a mess. And so the Apple TV certainly has its problems, but because parts of it are so good. I'm kind of curious. Like I mean, this is not really that accurate, but in some ways I'm almost more interested in that than I am in the new iPhone.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I started off really liking the Apple TV.
Yeah. I remember
that. And it's turned into a big disappointment with on so many things. I just like mine at times just kicks me out of the application, whatever I'm watching, just restarts the app.
Sure.
Or other times that remote control was made to drive people insane because it is so terrible. Slippery and it gets in every groove. I can't ever find. I swear to you, Paul. Every night, I probably spend a good 5 minutes looking for the thing in the bed.
Yeah, but then when you find it, you go to navigate.
And you're holding it backwards.
You're holding it upside down, or you scroll right by the thing you meant to go to, then you try to go back and you go one over, and then you go back and you go one over, and it's like, seriously, you know, as terrible as the original Apple TV or the previous gen Apple TV remote was, the silver one.
So much better than this.
Oh God, it was so much better. Yeah. And I hated that thing, you know?
Yeah. So I'm interested that's an interesting one too. Anything, they're probably going to announce iOS 11's release date, which will probably be that day or the following day.
I would think so. It's so done.
Yeah.
That could happen anytime.
The Mac, you know, the Mac OS update, they'll announce that. I don't think we're going to get much hardware other than what you mentioned. Is there anything that we would be missing? I'm trying to think.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Apple Watch.
I don't think it makes sense to do a bunch of Mac stuff at this show. So I actually don't think they're going to do that, any of that stuff. But that said, the Mac is an area where they're kind of ripe for stuff that they need. The other thing is, and I spent some time looking into this recently. You know, on like the Google side on Android, they have these really low cost Chromecast devices, right?
Yeah.
And on Apple, if you want to broadcast video, the only way you can do it is to an Apple TV, which is a really expensive way to do that. And I was kind of wondering, you know, why don't they have kind of a Chromecast for Apple? Like, why doesn't Apple make such a thing? Mm-hmm. Because you could, you know, they could even require like, well, you have to have one Apple TV, but then you could put these on your other TV, something like that. But you know, I'd forgotten this. The one thing they used to make was really exceptional networking gear. And they used to, the features of these things, which they stopped updating with 802.11n, right? So a couple of versions ago.
No, I think they have an AC one.
I think if you look it up, they don't. I bet they can look it up now. Look up Airport or whatever.
Yeah.
But they used to be able to use that to cast music to connected speakers, right? Now, obviously, AirPlay will eventually be built into speakers. Apple's coming up with their own speaker. But I'm a little bit curious. Like, I'm wondering, given their focus on digital media, especially music, but not just music, Apple TV is video, whether there won't be any other supporting pieces to this story, which could take the form of a casting device or maybe more networking equipment, although I don't actually think they'll do that.
Yeah. The new one is AC. 802.11 AC. Yeah. Yeah,
what am I thinking? Oh, maybe I'm thinking. Okay, then I'm thinking of something different then. So, what is the Wear AirPlay Wireless? What am I thinking of? Because I looked this up fairly recently.
It's the long one. You know which one I'm talking about? It's like super long.
Yeah. Okay. So Airport Express is only N, and you're saying they have an Airport. What's it called?
Extreme.
Airport something else. Extreme,
yeah,
which is something
else.
It's
the '90s. It's the '90s. Extreme.
Okay,
is
but
bad.
Airport. So, but Airport Express is $99, and so for Apple, that's cheap. You know.
Yeah.
And let's see. Does it say? Yeah, it supports.
Oh, by the way, hold on. Apple YouTube TV now can stream on the Apple TV.
Oh, did that just literally just
probably,
happen?
Probably. Yeah, Mike in our chat room just said it. Well, that's great news.
That's something I've been waiting for, actually.
Well, that goes. That's another cable box I'm removing.
Let's see. It supports AirPlay, so I guess you could use it from your phone.
What supports AirPlay?
YouTube TV on the iPhone.
Oh, are we not talking about? No. We're talking about Apple TV.
No, I know. I hear you. YouTube.
Let me look at this.
I don't see it, but I hope that's true because I really want to use this. So that would be good.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we talking about the same thing? Because the story I see here is that it works over AirPlay, which I don't care
for. Yeah, which is what I'm talking about. In other words, it would be the iPhone app. But that's been around since May. They just updated the app to support live streaming, but that has nothing to do with any of this.
No, maybe this is, maybe that's what he's talking about.
Well, it has to happen eventually. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to ignore that.
Yeah. Also, I'm curious as to why they've waited so long, because it's interesting. Yeah. But mobile, I'll give an example. On mobile, YouTube TV only works in 30 frames a second. On mobile.
Okay.
On your laptop. On the desktop, it works in, you know, you could go up to 1080, you know, 60 frames a second. So, which is, that's pretty interesting to me that they've done that. Curious as to how it is on the iPad. So, anyway, this event, I'm curious, you know, interesting stuff. Maybe some more HomePod stuff. We'll probably get a new Apple Watch or an upgrade to an Apple Watch. Sure. Apple TV, and then obviously the new phones. So let's see what they say. Let's see how they tell us that this is a $1,000 phone.
Hmm.
You know, $1,200 phone, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be $999 to start.
Yeah, starting $999. I want to talk about the pricing of phones next, because this is an interesting topic that I've, since our discussion last week, I've gotten so much feedback over how these products are priced and how we're doing, you know, why they're so expensive and all that stuff. So I want to talk about that, because I know that that's a common issue we all have when we buy these phones, and that's, why am I paying so much? Why am I paying $1,000 for a phone? It's crazy, which we'll talk about. But before we do, I want to talk about our sponsor, and that's SendPro from Pitney Bowes. Guys, I ship stuff all the time now. My wife has become obsessed with selling things on eBay and on... Actually, you know what she sells stuff on, actually, Paul? On YouTube, on Facebook.
Yeah, actually, so my wife's doing the same thing. Yeah,
and it's like so successful to do, because most of them they pick it up, but sometimes she has to send stuff to like Long Island. And she started using SendPro because it comes with the scale. It gives you the best rates that you could possibly get. It kind of like vets it to see who would have the best rate. It's actually a really, really good service. There's no special equipment required or necessary. You could just print it from your computer. It's cheaper than stamps.com significantly. And they have a great offer. If you want to learn more, go to pb.com/GFQ. And when you sign up, you'll get SendPro for 90 days for free. You get 90 days for free of SendPro. The feature that I actually like here, and I'm trying to pull it up here on this one if I could see it. So obviously it lets you print out the labels and everything, but they are, so you have the tracking internally with your account. So you can track your shipments at the same interface very easily. And it does all the homework for you. It compares the shipping rates and delivery times between USPS and all the other major carriers. So you know which is the best for you, which was very important when you're, you know, urgently trying to find out how long it's going to take for FedEx, for those other guys, which I cannot mention, and UPS and USPS. So it's interesting. pb.com/GFQ. Go there, sign up, and check it out. Let's talk about phone pricing, Paul. You know, a couple of years ago, I really got on this kick of... Really, it would bother me how expensive these phones were. It really started bothering me, because I couldn't justify it. And, you know, you would have people that say, Andrew, you're absolutely right. The phone, this is out of control, that we have to pay $30, $40 a month. That comes out to $1,000 on this device, when an iPad is $500. So why, you know, I get that argument. And then I would have the apologists and say, well, research and development, Andrew. You're paying into research and development, which you're not. No. And then we kind of got used to this idea for a little bit. We got used to paying these outrageous amounts. But now, because of the price increase for Samsung's pricing and Apple's pricing with their phone, I think we're starting to realize this again and be like, wait a minute. Why are we paying $1,000 or $1,200 for these phones? So, Paul, that's Andrew, my question to you. Why are we paying this much money?
Once again, you have put me in the awkward position of defending Apple.
Go ahead.
So I, like you, have often complained about the high price of phones. It's one of those things that some people, for some reason, it really seems to bother some people. Like, oh, it's all you ever do, you know, complain about pricing, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there are a lot of things have changed. And so over the years, right now we live in a world in which you have many good options when it comes to smartphones in particular. And some of those options are not that expensive. I spent some time this spring looking at a really low-end Motorola phone. I looked at the OnePlus 3T when that was still the current OnePlus. And then I looked at the Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus, which, of course, was very, very expensive. But if you were to price out an iPhone 7 Plus right now and put in the maximum amount of storage, which is probably like 256 or whatever, I believe that what the price comes out to is $980, something like that. So we're kind of touching on that.
Yeah.
So it's not like the old days when Apple had one or maybe two models of iPhones. It's not like the old days when Apple had one, maybe two, and then last year's model of iPhones. You know, there's a whole family of phones you can buy. Just talking about Apple, I mean, forget about the competition for a second, but just looking at Apple, iPhone SE probably starts somewhere, what is it, $300 to $400 range, somewhere in there. Small screen device, obviously, but you can get the iPhone 6S and 6S Plus, the 7, 7 Plus. And then let's pretend the 8 was out today. I mean, the 8 would be the kind of the flagship. And so when you add a phone onto that family of devices, and it is by nature the most premium of those phones,
yeah,
it's going to be the most expensive. And $999 makes sense for a starting price for that.
I understand the pricing. I get why they're charging that much. I totally understand that. My argument is, so you have devices like the OnePlus devices, right?
Yeah. Yep.
How?
Yeah. $400.
Let's say five hundred.
Yeah.
Why is that device $500 compared to the iPhone?
Well, because that's the only thing that they do, right? And so they're trying to hit the sweet spot of the market. It's what Google has done on and off with their Nexus devices, and they're not doing anymore with Pixel. Samsung, by the way, too, if you were to be able to see sell-through on all of their devices, I bet from a volume perspective, the S8 and S8 Plus are nowhere near the top. Maybe they are briefly, you know, when they're new or whatever, but they sell all these other things that are a lot less expensive. And so the expensive ones give them kind of technological bragging rights. They give their power users something that they can have and you know, lord over other people or whatever. It's an aspirational device for people who can't afford it. There's a lot of reasons why you might want to do this thing, but look, especially with Apple, but again, probably with other phones as well. Let's say you went into an Apple store on day one and you said, I want to buy the new iPhone 8 or whatever we're calling this thing. And it's $999. Let's say that's the price. Well, no one is handing them $1,000 in cash to buy these things, right? Yeah. I mean, basically, you're gonna spread that out over 2 years. If you buy it directly from Apple, Apple has an Apple upgrade program where you pay them over the course of a 2-year commitment for the phone. And if you do the math on a calculator, $1,000 divided by 24 is about $42. And that isn't that much money. It just isn't for what you're getting. The other thing is, you know, when you compare the price of something like the iPhone or any smartphone that you would use every single day, all the time, when you're out in the world, when you're at home, whatever, to other digital devices, whether it's a PC, a Mac, or a Chromebook, whether it's a tablet, whether it's an HD TV or 4K display, whatever the heck it is, you spend way more time and derive way more value out of that phone for the most part. Most people do. A lot more. Like, it's not even close. So does it make sense for someone to spend $1,000 on a phone and then spend maybe $500 on a computer of some kind?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it probably does, you know. And if you think about, like, not that we think about these things in this way, but we basically all have a technology budget of some kind, whether or not you sort of, you know, explicitly think that way. And if you had X number of dollars to spend over X number of months or years or whatever, and you would had to allocate money accordingly, I think people, if they really thought it through, most people, again, I don't mean all people literally, but most people would put most of the money toward the phone because that's the thing that matters the most to them. And when you have a thing with Apple like they do, with the iPhone upgrade program, where now it's 2018 and now the iPhone 8S is coming out and you get it for no extra cost. You just walk in the store and get it, and then your payments continue. Now they get pushed out another year, but if you get the same thing and it's the same price, it probably will be, It's going to be $42 a month. Nothing changes. If, by the way, if you had a bad experience, you could go down to a lower end device, because now, remember, they have a range of devices. Your payment might actually go down. That's fine too. You can do that.
So what are you, what are people buying? I mean, what that's my question. You know, if you can't technically afford that, you know, which, by the way, listen, $40 a month, that's a bill. I mean, every month, $44. Let's say you can't afford that, and you could only, you know, what are you buying?
Let me see if I can find this thing. There was a great story. Counterpoint Research, a company I don't know, had a story about smartphone models and how they were selling. Actually, it was about Huawei and how they were suddenly this, you know, temporarily probably the second biggest smartphone manufacturer, surpassing Apple. Everybody sort of knows that the iPhone 7, the latest version of the iPhone, is the best-selling smartphone model. Like, we all kind of seem to know that, right?
Yeah.
As it turns out, the iPhone 7 and the 7 Plus are the top two, right? The next two down are phones no one's ever heard of. They're from a company called Oppo. It's a Chinese company. They're number two. But then number three, four, and on, it's Samsung Galaxy S8 is number five. Xiaomi, however you say that, Redmi Note is number six. Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus is number seven. And then the next one down is an Apple iPhone 6. Right? It's probably a 6S, really, but whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's an older iPhone, right? And then we have other Samsung Galaxies that kind of make up a lot of the rest of it. So that's what people are buying. And so when in places like the United States, Western Europe, or whatever, the iPhone is the thing that's selling the most, by far. I mean, by far. It's the China stuff is interesting to me because those devices are probably nowhere near as expensive as the iPhone, right? And so the Galaxy S8, S8 Plus absolutely are as expensive. The older iPhones are obviously less expensive. The Chinese phones are probably less expensive and whatever. And so if you can't afford the iPhone 8 or whatever we're calling it, and you want an iPhone, you have choices. If you can't afford the Note 8, which is basically the same price or whatever, you have tons of choices because that's how the Android market works. And there are Moto phones that are fantastic. The OnePlus 5, fantastic. There's a lot of good choices.
What's the phone from HTC that was ranked the best for camera stuff? It's the HTC
U11, I think it's the name. Let me look it up to find it.
I'm looking at, first of all, HTC's website is terrible.
Well, HTC might be on the verge of getting sold, by the way. HTC U11 is number one. Barely beat out the Pixel, which is number two.
I can't believe
HTC
Pixel's number 10, two.
Number three. Oh, I can. It was number one until about a month ago. That's why I use that camera on trips. It's amazing.
And how old is it?
Came out last October, maybe, or November.
Pixel 2.
Pixel, just the first Pixel.
But when is the next one?
When's it coming? Next one's probably coming out in October.
Yeah. Wow, this is interesting.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. I don't know. But
the Pixel's number two.
Well, okay. I'm not, but you know, the Samsung Galaxy S8 and 7 or S7 have the same score. They're in third place. The OnePlus 5 is one point down in the fourth position. The Apple iPhone 7 is after that.
It's actually fascinating. I don't know.
Camera.
You know, $649 for this, by the way, this HTC. $649.
Yeah, so it's obviously a much bigger deal. I mean, there's more going on with this phone than just the camera, and I'm never going to buy an HTC U anything, so I couldn't care less. But, you know, the one. For me personally, I mean, I'm probably going to get the iPhone because it's so important. The question is whether that becomes my next phone that I use every single day. And I'm honestly not sure. I want to see what the Pixel does. I want to see what they're going to do. And then I'll kind of look at it because the camera is super important to me. But I want to look at, you know, the OnePlus 5 is out. Maybe they'll come up with a T version over the winter or something. The Note 8 is out. It looks like it's getting great reviews and the camera looks fantastic. You know, some of those phones are less expensive than others. I mean, I'd like to look this up too. It's like if you went and tried to buy a Pixel XL directly from Google today, which I strongly do not recommend, it's like astonishing how expensive that thing is. Like I think it was $850, if I'm not mistaken. You know, OnePlus 5 starts at $479. You're probably looking at $525, $535, whatever for slightly upgraded storage. I would go to the Motorola website. They have those modular phones. I think it's the the Y series, I think Moto Y, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember. Or Moto Z, I'm sorry. And then the X series was just refreshed as well. I mean, those are probably fantastic phones.
Yeah.
A lot less expensive.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm just trying to understand, you know.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing. So I got so many emails, and this is why I'm just to kind of get to the point. I got so many emails from people saying, guys, you know, you're talking about the iPhone, and that's great, and but, you know, I bought this Moto phone, or I bought this Samsung phone, and I bought this one, and I paid almost nothing. And right. a lot of that, you know, it's interesting because a lot of that is not spoken about. You know, you don't see these reviews for some of these phones. Like, I really would love to know which of these, you know, mid-range phones is the best, like the Moto that you use, you know? Why is it good? Why do you like that phone?
I've gotten into, not arguments, but into discussions with PC makers in particular sometimes, you know, they'll want to send me the latest, greatest, whatever it is, and so if I can review it. And so they'll always send, like, the version has, like, a terabyte of SSD storage, 16 gigs of RAM, you know, discrete graphics. It's got, like, the OLED screen. It's like, guys, nobody is spending $4,000 on a laptop. It, you know, can I get the normal version, please? But yeah, so I don't know where you would see go to get reviews of these kind of low end phones. I have a friend who buys. We had to look this up. I want to say it was I think you and I might have talked about this some months ago. A Samsung J series phone, and
yeah,
what we found. Yeah, when I looked it up at the time, the way I recall it is, they're just sold at T-Mobile. It's like a carrier phone, and so super low end specs. It might have had 16. Gigs of onboard storage or something. I think he had had 8 on the previous one and he was running into some issues. So I think the thing cost him -$32 or something. Like, it literally, they just throw these things at you like they're giveaways in a cereal box. And so I think, but that's maybe in some ways the point, you know, that for him, that is what he perceives as being the kind of phone that he wants. He's okay with that. Good for him. He's not, you know, $41 a month, whatever. $42 times 12 has got to work out to be roughly $500. There's $500 you're not spending this year that I probably will spend, right? Yeah. Because I can't help myself. So it's nice when you don't have that disease, you can save some money.
It's interesting. I'm looking at a thing here. Best mid-range phones.
Yeah.
And it's phones I've never heard of.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of good.
For the one, you know. 5 best mid-range phones of 2017. Here we go.
Okay, what are they?
Let's see. Well, this isn't a U.S. site, so I have no idea.
Well, Moto 5G Plus, right?
Yeah.
Starts at $229. It's carrier unlocked. It's got a decent camera. It's not like an iPhone, you know, or whatever, a Pixel camera, but it's
Sony.
Decent.
The Xperia X.
Yeah. Sony has kind of drifted off for me, but
you know, they're pretty designs. It's just nobody's buying these things. Nobody's,
I know,
buying.
It's weird.
Why?
No, but if you want like a big screen phone, like an iPhone probably has a 5.7-inch screen. The iPhone Plus, the Moto G 5 is actually, it's only 5.2, but they have a G 4 Plus that's 5.5 inches. Lots of color choices, storage choices.
The Z 2 Play. Interesting. This is an interesting list. Anyway. I'm curious about it. Paul, a couple more things here I want to touch on with you. Windows 10S upgrade extension.
Yep.
This is interesting. I want to touch on that. I want to talk about that. But before we do, I want to talk about something that you ended up buying, and that's a Casper mattress.
I did. It just arrived today.
It just arrived. Did it come in the box?
It did.
Did you open it up?
No, this one is going to my daughter's room, so we left it in the box so she could experience that, because opening it up is kind of the cool part of it.
It's the cool part of it, yeah, because so for people who don't know, the Casper mattress comes in a box, and you're going to say to yourself, how good could a mattress be that comes in a box? I'm going to tell you something.
Well, it's a box that's, you know, it's maybe 2 feet by two feet by 2 feet. I don't know, four, you know, she got a full size mattress.
And it's squished. It's like air sealed.
You know what it is? It's like a life raft.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you pull the tab and the whole thing pops open.
It's amazing. I absolutely love these guys, and Paul uses it, and I use it, and you could save $50 towards a mattress purchase by going to Casper.com/Andrew. I'm telling you, if you want a great night's sleep like I've been getting, and I have a lot of back issues. And for me to say this is a great mattress, you know, take my word for it. It's a really, really good mattress. Casper.com/Angie. You could go there, sign up. Yeah, but the whole experience is opening this thing up and it like inflates. Yeah. It goes.
I should, by the way, we should mention that because I bought some of this stuff too. And I did buy this stuff. They also sell pillows and they sell blankets and duvets and they sell mattress covers.
And dog beds.
And dog. Okay, I don't have a dog.
And they have a higher end Casper now. They have.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Right. So which is the one I want to get for myself. So we got Kelly the lower end version.
The regular.
The normal one. But we ordered four pillows. So we got four king size pillows. Two for our bed and then two the normal size pillows for her bed. And she also got a mattress cover.
How did you like the pillows?
So I literally slept on it last night for the first time ever.
Yeah, I was considering getting it.
Okay, so here's the thing. They're enormous. They're actually really big pillows. Of course, I know we got the king size ones, but they're also thick. And it's like, seriously, if you go back like 15 years and looked at our bed, you would see like normal big pillow on Stephanie's side of the bed and then like flat piece of cardboard on my side of the bed. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to adapt to this at all. But honestly, the way the material works is you kind of sink into it and it's actually super comfortable. And I noticed the second I laid down to the point where I actually started rolling over to my sides to see if it retained this is that it really does a good job of supporting your head in what I assume is the correct position. Because if you think about it, if the thing's too flat, your head will kind of be bent unnaturally down so that, because it has further to go. And I'll let you know next week, because I'll have more time with it. But I woke up this morning and I was like, okay, I have specific, out of hotels, I throw away all the pillows. Like I don't want anything to do with them. They're always too thick.
Yeah. These guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, they figured something out. It looks pretty good. Anyway, I'm just saying this because I literally did buy it with my own money. It's not like a freebie or something. I'm just talking up. Yeah. Like I bought this stuff.
No. And I mean, listen, I absolutely love the company and their products are really good. You know, I wash and so everything you could take apart on this mattress on the Casper. So you could actually, I take the actual cover off and it just exposes the foam, and I just wash that whenever I'm doing the laundry. I just throw it right in. It's a little bit of, it's a little work to get it off.
Yeah.
Much like anything else, but it's like a brand new bed every time. It's actually great. Yeah. They have a whole line of stuff at Casper. Go to casper.com/Andrew. Get $50 towards your mattress purchase when you enter in the promo code Andrew at checkout. Where were we going here, Paul? Oh, Windows 10S. Extended the upgrade.
The free upgrade, So... Yeah, so when they announced Windows 10S back in May, I guess, along with the Surface laptop, they said that they would provide the upgrade to Windows 10 Pro for free to anyone through the end of the year. Not just Surface laptop owners, but anyone who bought a Windows 10S device, although that's pretty much the only one you can buy at retail. As part of it was kind of a weird thing. It was like an announcement about how they were expanding the availability of the different colored versions of Surface laptop. Microsoft also announced that they would be extending this free upgrade period through the end of March of next year. And actually, that's kind of a nice thing because a lot of people are going to want to buy this thing for back to school purposes right now, or maybe for the holidays, Christmas Day. If you kind of think about it, like if you woke up on Christmas morning and mom and dad got you a beautiful new Surface laptop or whatever, you would have 5 or 6 days to determine whether or not you wanted to upgrade to Windows 10 Pro.
Which I don't know why you wouldn't. But
I don't either. But anyway, I give Microsoft credit because it kind of removes the uncertainty around this purchase. You have plenty of time to make this decision. I will also say, by the way, that if you you upgrade to Pro, you can go back to S, not in line, but you can reset it and go back to S, and that thing will activate either way. So you can, going forward in the future, you can put S on there, you can put Pro in there. It's fine.
So my theory is that they're going to extend the free upgrade indefinitely. What do you think? You think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I think that's what they should do.
On this device. Maybe future Windows 10S devices, if they come up with a lower end device or whatever, on a chip, like an ARM-based Windows 10S device, which we will probably get.
I think that was the issue, right? That they didn't have an appropriate device for this, so they wanted to put it on something desirable.
Let's put it on the top of the line product that we have.
I know. So when Windows 10 on ARM devices do come out, Microsoft will undoubtedly release one or more Surface devices with that platform. Yeah, I mean, I really do expect to see Windows 10S there. And once that happens, I would hope at the very least they would offer Pro as an option at purchase time, or just make it always free on that device, because you're spending so much money on that thing.
Yeah.
To try to, you know, grab another $50 from people just to go to Pro is just wrongheaded.
Yeah, no, I think that should be
yeah, should be
that
just the way
be just the way it is. Just it comes with S. They'll be a little pushy with that, but it is your forever. You could upgrade this device. Is there any news on lower end devices with Windows 10 S?
No, I mean, there are several lower end devices with Windows 10 S, but they all target the education market. So,
the education market. Yeah, but who's these out?
Yeah, well, everyone. I mean, HP, Lenovo, is it Lenovo? HP, Dell, Acer, Asus. I mean, basically all the major PC makers are doing this. Lenovo might not be on that list, but they will be. I mean, they'll all do that. But to me, the bigger issue is, when will a PC maker come out with a $500 mainstream consumer laptop that runs Windows 10 S?
Yeah,
and well, the truth
is the HP model. I'm trying to find the HP model Windows 10 S.
It's just some little 11-inch piece of crap.
I don't even see it.
Yeah, you won't see it. You can't. It's not something you would buy as a human being. Like it's like
they just hand them out to schools.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, I'm sure you could find it somewhere, but no one's ever going to buy this thing in the store.
No, I really can't find it.
No, I'm not surprised. But I've talked to a couple of PC makers, three of them, I guess, and basically I've gotten the same response from each of them, which is like, well, we're going to see how it goes. You know, we don't really. This is them speaking. You know, we don't have any demand for this from customers at all. And I think they didn't say this explicitly, but I think they understand that there's some communication and education has to happen with Windows 10 S, because there is always that possibility, and a very good possibility, that people will get this device, get home, and be like, what are you talking about? I can't run Chrome on this thing. Well, like, make sense.
There is a place for this device. I definitely agree that there is a place for
you
this.
You mean
device.
Like in a garbage dump somewhere?
In the receptacle.
Yeah, the receptacle. There you go.
In the receptacle, there's a place for it. No, I mean, listen, for education, for kids, I get it. I get it. But
I sort of get it. Yeah.
I would most likely buy a Chromebook with my apps on there, with Android apps on it.
Yeah.
Than this device.
That's exactly right.
Just for the availability of the platform, just to be in that ecosystem and know, you know, it may not be, you know, we discussed the problems that Google's had with Android on Chrome, on the Chromebooks, but you still have access to all those apps.
Both of these platforms have pros and cons, right? The pros of Chromebook, especially with Android, are very well established. The cons are not huge. And a lot of people who would put certain things in the con list that aren't really there anymore, like the online requirement or whatever it is. Like, I think people misunderstand what's going on with the Chromebooks. The problem with Windows 10 S is that when you list, here are all the things that make this thing good, they're all theoretical. Like, none of them are actual real world proven facts. You know, the security will be better. Okay. You know, it will be more reliable over time. Okay.
Yeah.
It will, you know, the performance will be consistent over time. All right. But the problem is, the negatives are instantly understood to be facts. It does not run Windows desktop applications. Ludicrous. It's a fact. That's a huge problem. That's going to be a huge problem for every single person that uses one of those devices, whether they believe it or not, because it's not just, you know, Chrome and iTunes and whatever else. It's also about the driver packages that you get, you know. You buy a new printer or a screen or whatever, you plug the thing in. Usually it will work with some kind of basic functionality, but if you want to do more advanced things, there's a driver package that includes a utility that makes that thing really shine. And guess what? It's a Win32 app. You're not running that on Windows 10 S, and that stinks.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with that
system. You know, so I'm going to – God, I wish we could do a post show, because this kind of ties in with this, but – I don't know. You know, I think we're trying Microsoft, especially, and a lot of other companies, they're throwing everything at it and they're seeing what works. I think the real question here will be, and the real test will be, when these ARM-based Windows 10 devices start coming out.
Right.
Significantly. Will that be the market for Windows 10 S? Will that be enough?
Okay, I mean,
is that the direction that they want to go?
there are just too many questions now to know, because these devices are compatible with the x86 apps. If you're running Windows 10 Home or Pro or Enterprise on ARM, it will run those desktop applications. How well will it run those? We have no idea. Not really. Not real life. How will running those apps impact the battery life or the reliability of this? We have no idea.
Yeah.
What will the battery life be like? Will it be better?
Yep.
Will it be better still if you run Windows 10? We have no idea.
No idea.
So all we can do is speculate. I have some theories, but the truth is there's no way to know. We have to get those devices and find out.
Another great option would be to have the availability to do like a dual boot, you know, depending on the user, depending on whoever's using
that's
system.
Interesting.
So if you have
sure.
So I'll give an example. You have your laptop here, and I got Windows 10 on here. And my kids' account, rather than going through restrictions of what applications to run, I just would want to just choose Windows 10S as the boot for that login.
Well, okay. So this is not actually very easy to do.
No, it's not.
In fact, I'm something else. There is the capability in Windows 10 Home and Pro to flip a switch in settings that will prevent the user from downloading apps that don't come from the store. So you can kind of give them a Windows 10S type experience. It would be kind of interesting if, as a parent, you could set up, you know, I'm going to call it a policy because that's kind of what we call these things, but a policy for your child accounts that was the case. The reason that would be so much better than Windows 10S, though, is because you, as the administrator, as the parent, will have plugged that thing into that printer or whatever I was talking about earlier, and those drivers are on there because it's real Windows 10.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt the kid, but the kid can't just go to google.com/Chrome or whatever if you don't want them installing Chrome for some reason. What that system is very, very possible. I don't think what I just described is actually
happening.
I don't think it's possible easily. Like, I don't think there's a switch somewhere in the UI we can say for child accounts, do not allow store apps. There is a switch in the UI that says don't allow store apps. But the thing is, as a user, you can actually bypass that. So I don't know. That's an interesting idea.
A thought. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Do you have like 10 minutes or no?
I have 9 minutes.
You have 9 minutes. Jeez.
Yep.
Jeez. All right. So I do want to talk about really quickly my summer long adventure of using this HP EliteBook. And I have essentially come to a conclusion that I'm going to bring up next week on the show. We're going to talk about that next week on the show. Actually, next week, when are you in New York?
Am I in New York next week? It's actually the week after that.
The week after, okay. Forgot
about that.
I'm gonna talk about it next week on the show because I'm gonna need some time. But
I gotta put that on my calendar.
Yeah, you should put it on the calendar. But my biggest issue has been committing to a mixed environment.
Oh, Andrew, you know what? I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. I am supposed to be in New York next week.
What day? The 12th.
The 12th,
the Apple event.
No, actually, but that is the day of the Apple
event. That is the day of the Apple event.
Why did I do that? I'm an idiot. I must have booked this a long time ago. I took the earliest slot too. Oh boy. Oh boy.
So you're not going to be live tweeting?
Well, that's the thing. I got to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, I'll be on the air that day. So, My biggest problem has been jumping back and forth and really being able to be fully comfortable in the Windows environment. I did not think it would be this much of a struggle for me to kind of let go of certain things I do on the Mac and do it on Windows. And the way that I do things on Windows, it's actually...
That doesn't surprise me.
Even like the simplest things like Dropbox, for example. The way that I use Dropbox on the Mac, it's a little bit different. Even like stuff like that, just essentially everything I'm doing, you know, just like the view of how I view stuff in Explorer, in File Explorer, you know, it's that's been the biggest change for me.
Right.
That's been the biggest issue when it comes to using this device has been just being fully comfortable. Yeah, I know how to do it and I do it all the time, but maybe it's taking me a half a second longer to do things. That's been my changeover.
Yeah, well, that would be my issue using a Mac.
Using a Mac,
it would be It's my issue using Windows 10S. I mean, you establish this kind of workflow. You're used to doing certain things in a certain way, different apps, et cetera. And when those things aren't available, you kind of have to think about it. Like, okay, well, I want to do this thing. How might I do it with this other system? You know, sometimes it's not even possible. It depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, like I'm using using Skype. It's a different environment than on the Mac. Right. And it actually is a better – Skype on the Mac is better than Skype on Windows, which is so mind-boggling.
You're not the first person to observe that.
Yeah.
It's
a lot of these little things, and it was a fun experiment. And I'm going to continue using it. By the way, this is still my everyday laptop. The Mac is my work laptop, and this is my everyday laptop, and I enjoy using it. I'm still struggling, and I didn't think I would have these issues 3 months into using this device. One thing I am doing a lot more is using the touchscreen.
Yeah.
I do that a whole lot more.
Yep.
Like a tremendous amount compared to when I was using it.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, that's one of those things. There are so many people who think they're never going to use the touchscreen. Like it's a laptop, you know, blah, 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 whatever. It's like, no, it really doesn't work that way. You will use it. And you'll have that kind of come up in some moment where you're like, oh, God, I not so much rely on it, but I sort of assume it's there, you know.
Give me an example. I'm doing pinch and zoom in Chrome, and it's very different than doing it. Like if I do it on the screen, it actually acts like the way that I want to do it. If I do it with the trackpad, it's not great. So it's interesting. It's a fascinating,
That doesn't difference. Surprise me.
Anyway, we could wrap it up, Paul. I know you have a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go get some stuff done. Are you now settled in slowly? Are you going back to normal?
I thought I was.
Yeah.
I mean, we just have, you know, we have the house stuff. So the electric's happening this week for the most part. Hopefully we'll be done tomorrow. Obviously painting is going to occur sometime in the next 30 days. We're getting the kitchen partially redone. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of unpacked. Like, you know, last 2 weeks we put out a bunch of boxes. My office is kind of semi-barren in a way. I've got boxes sitting around. I still have to go through some stuff, but it's getting there
little by little. All right, guys, if you want to help us out, use our Amazon link. Go to gfq.co/amazon, bookmark it, and whenever you buy something, we got a small little credit. And the upgrades, whenever you guys buy something, we stockpile the money, and then we do our upgrades. Like I need stockpile a new camera, and I need a new this, and I need a new that. So it's a major help. Also, our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthetech. Go there, fund us for as little as $1 per episode. You could go and fund the show. Follow Paul at The Rot. You can follow me at Andrew Zarian, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.